Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So if you have your cell phones, please put them on the silent position or the off. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, "The God of Peace Be With You." The God of Peace Be With You. One of the traits of Paul the Apostle was his one of his salutations was when he signed off, when he was getting close to ending a book that he was writing, or when he was leaving a nation, a country, like Rome, like Thessalonica, like Colossus. What he would always do, sign off and say, "God, may the God of peace be with you." Why? Because God brought peace to his heart. And how many can be a witness to that? That when you gave your hearts to Jesus, he brought peace to your heart. Amen. We are no longer dealing in strife. How many are so blessed to know that? That we're at peace with God. Thank you, Lord. So let's look at Romans chapter 15. We're going to conclude this chapter this evening. And then we got one left, chapter 16. And we'll probably start that next. Yes, we'll start that next Wednesday. So here we go. Starting with verse 28, and it reads, "Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and though the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." One of the things that Paul always reiterated was, "Pray for me, pray for me." How many need prayer? Amen. We need prayer every day, don't we? Look at verse 31. "That I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe." What do you mean delivered? He was heavily persecuted. Who do not believe. That they, look at this, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Look at this, verse 32. "That I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you." Here's where I got the topic. "Now the God of peace be with you all." And then he signs off. Amen. 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 So let's break this down. Let's go to verse 28. And it reads, "Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by the way of Spain to you." So, saints of God, after making sure the church in Jerusalem received the offerings, remember we spoke about that last week, the offerings that he collected. That's one thing that really blessed his heart, that he was amongst giving saints. The saints is the one that carried the church. Hallelujah. As he journeyed, they sent him a blessing to give to the saints, to those churches. And so he received the offerings from other churches, and Paul would take this anticipated trip many places, to Spain, to Colossae, as we mentioned. He was looking forward, saints of God, to taking the gospel to the new lands west of Rome. But even the best laid plans may not happen as we anticipate. Praise God. Did you know that sometimes we can make plans and God will alter that plan? How many of you thought out of a plan for your life and God said, you're going this direction? Huh? Oh, yes. So eventually, though, Paul got to Rome. But it was after having his life threatened, becoming a prisoner of Rome. He was incarcerated in Rome. He was enduring a shipwreck, getting bitten by a poisonous snake on the island of Malta, and landing finally in Rome under arrest. Wow. So this wasn't a tour. This wasn't what? Bread and breakfast? You ever been on a bread and breakfast? You know, on a weekend retreat? No. He was surviving. He was fighting for his life as he went and preached the gospel. But one of the things he had was great joy. He was anointed by God. So he had no fear. He had no fear. He had to go. He was compelled by the Holy Spirit. Look what I found in Acts 28 to confirm this trip that he had. Look at this. In Acts 28, verse 1. Here we go, right up here. If you didn't bring your Bibles, I got it on the screen. Those of you on Facebook, YouTube, I'll always have the Word of God for you if you don't have your Bibles with you. Amen? So look at this. Acts 28, 1 through 10. Let's read this. Now, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. So this is where this is mentioned. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Verse 3. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, look at this, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand, meaning it bit his hand. A snake just launched out. Just imagine walking around somewhere and a snake out of nowhere just launched at you and was holding on to your skin. This is what happened here. Look at this. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer." They were thinking the worst. "Whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live." So in other words, they were thinking, especially the, you remember, this was a shipwreck. So these people that were on the boat with him, they thought, man, we were with someone that's cursed. They were thinking the worst, huh? Look at verse 5. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Praise God. Why? Because God was with them. Look at verse 6. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Notice little G, one of their idols. A god. Not the god, but a god. How finicky people are, aren't they? Huh? They were thinking the worst, and now, oh, he's probably one of our gods. Look at verse 7. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went to him and prayed. Look at Paul. Paul went there. See, let me just pause right there. This shipwreck was ordained by God. Can I get amen? This was a divine appointment. God allowed that shipwreck, not just because it wrecked there, but the Lord directed Paul to go pray for this man. Because God already knew what was going to happen to this man. Look at this. Paul went into him and prayed. And he laid hands on him and what? Healed him. Wow. Wow. This villager that's been there for many years, they didn't need one of their witch doctors to do this. They didn't have to drink any medicine. He prayed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. What? See how the Lord turned that thing around? Never be discouraged when things don't look like they're going right for you. Can I get an amen? Because God will turn that around. God will not only lift up your spirit, but do something around you. Hallelujah. Look at this in verse 10. They also honored us in many ways. And when he departed, they provided such things as were necessary. In other words, they blessed them. They probably said, Paul, wherever you're going, take this. You need it. You see, he came there to be a blessing. And this is something that we need to adhere. No matter where God sends you, be a blessing there. Be a blessing to your family. Be a blessing to unbelievers. Even those on your job who you can't stand, be a blessing to them. Oh, come on. Some of you, man, these co-workers or these people on the job, you want to take off your shoe and throw it at them. Oh, come on. Oh, no. Is that just me? Oh, come on. But you know what God said? Get past that and still be a light for them. Be a blessing. Because look, they thought the worst, and look how God came through. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. When I read this story, and I said, oh God, give us a paradigm change. Because there's going to be people in your life, they get on that last nerve. But guess what? You could still be a blessing to them. You know why? Because they could have all that against you, say all that, and all you have to say is, the Lord loves you. Let me pray for you. Are you going through something? Let me pray for your illness. Is there someone in your family I could go pray for? When's the last time you told someone that you couldn't stand? Allow me to go and pray for one of your family members or you. You know what? You will shock their world. You will shock their world. That's right. And then when God does something mighty, they're going to melt like butter in your hand. Oh, yeah, they will. You see, tradition says that Paul was released for a time and that he used this opportunity to go to Spain to preach the good news. Listen, God used that opportunity on that shipwreck. Amen? And so praise God. Let's now move on to Romans chapter 15, verse 29. And it says, but I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Wow. You see, Paul knows that when he arrives eventually in Rome, he will come with a great blessing to share. And you can look at that in two ways. He's going to come in the fullness and the power of the Holy Ghost, the fullness of joy, the anointing of God, and also he's going to come in the fullness of the blessings he had gathered to bless them from all the churches that were concerned. So he's coming twofold. Thank you, God. And so the sense of this verse, saints, can be read, as I mentioned, in two ways. Paul will be bringing a fresh awareness of all the benefits of being united with Christ, preaching the gospel, repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Ghost, be baptized in the only name that can save you. And that saving name is what? Jesus. The only name that can save you. Hallelujah. Acts 4 and 12 says, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is what? Jesus. And Paul was expecting to experience with the Rome in the nation of Rome there a rich time of fellowship in Christ. You know, Paul was a blessing to many people. And a lot of them knew who he was before he got saved. Especially some of the Christians before Paul got saved. They couldn't trust him yet. Remember, he was the greatest persecutor of the church. And so the benefits of spending time with other believer saints, even those we do not know, are very real. Can I get amen? Look what I found to correlate with this verse. I found it in 2 Corinthians, verse 9. Look at this. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand. See, he was always thinking about being a blessing, which you had previously promised, that they may be ready as a matter of generosity, not as a grudging obligation. You know, when you give unto the Lord, let it be a generous, man, Lord, thank you. I've been privileged to give. Oh, man, I got this tithe and offering time. Man. You know what? I used to be like that. Ask my wife. I used to be like that. Quick little testimony, real quick, and we'll move on to our study. We had just got back from Israel, our first trip. Never been there. And we was broke. We were so broke, we couldn't even pay attention. So broke we were. Okay? And we were there, and there was like 900 people in our 930 service. We had 3,000 deep there. And here comes the tithe and offerings. We're jet lagged. You know, we're trying to get our bearings back. And here comes the offering. And the bag's coming. They had like at least 20 ushers because we had so many rows, and they started at one end. There was an usher on the other one. As it went by, they were there picking that up and then passing the bags down to the next three aisles. And that's how they would do it. It'd get done quick. So here comes a bag. I go, honey, you got any money? She goes, no. And so I opened up my wallet. I had a 20 and $2 bills, 22 bucks. So I took the $2, I threw it in, and then I passed the bag down. And then I lifted up my hands again. It was still worship. I heard God speak to me clearly. Clear as day. I heard him say to me, why are you tipping me? And I turned to Yolanda. I go, honey, did you say something? She goes, no. And I turned to the man that was to my left. I go, sir, did you say something? He goes, no. I said, oh, man. And so I just put my hands up, try to worship again. I heard it again. Why are you tipping me? I've been so good to you. Then it hit me like a ton of bricks. We came home. And I go, honey, we need to go in the room and get on our knees and fall on our face right now. She goes, what did you do? I go, no, we got to do this together, honey. And I told her, we've been robbing God. She goes, what? What do you mean robbing God? I go, so I took her to Malachi that Sister Tammy reads every morning. And I said, we've been robbing God. She goes, how? I go, through our tithes and offerings. I go, God spoke to me. I just been tipping him. All these years, I was at Mission Valley already for about 7 years. I was at North Park for 7 years. And all I did was always just tip God when the offering came. I didn't understand about giving a tenth of my income. I had no clue. But when God spoke to me and Yolanda, we made a covenant with God right that day. We said, Lord, whatever comes into this household, we're going to give you a tenth from the top. We're not going to even look at it. I don't care if we got bills. We're going to give you yours first. I kid you not. I was struggling in real estate every year. The most I could make maybe was $40,000. But when we made that covenant with God, and everything that came in, we gave him a tenth. The following year, I work in that little office back there you see. We made $400,000. Then the next year, $350,000. And I couldn't wait to run with that money to give it to God. Because he saw now that what was coming in, he goes, now you're blessing. Now you know what blessing is. Now I'm going to give you more so you could be a blessing. And God showed us that principle of reciprocity. It's sowing and reaping. You give unto the Lord, you cannot give God. You know, I used to hear that, man. I used to want to get out and walk out of church. That's all they ever ask. They're always harping on that. But then I got it. When God spoke to me, it wasn't man speaking to me no more. It was God who spoke to me. Because I heard his voice clearly. Sometimes God has to speak to you in issues of the heart. Not just that topic, but anything. And when he speaks, that's when you take heed to his voice. And you'll know it's him talking. And you, whatever it is, you'll know what to surrender to him. You'll know exactly because it's him speaking. Amen. So let's move on to verse 6 of 2 Corinthians. Look at this. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also, what? Reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Wow. You know, I didn't have this on my notes to share that testimony. I remember putting the scripture in to correlate in verse 29, but it just now just confirmed what God's scripture is saying. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Thank you, God. So from time to time, saints, Christians should worship in unfamiliar places, especially when it comes to what we were just talking about. There's still some. It was at North Park. It was at Mission Valley. It was here at Amazing Grace. We know. There's some that just did what I did. Just tipped God. Hey, I can't. Listen, there's no way I'm going to prod and try to pull that from you. You're never going to hear from this pulpit what I used to hear from these churches I attended. Listen, if you don't know that already, shame on you. But I'm not going to be the harper that harps on it. Because you'll get up and leave like I want it to. God said, nuh-uh. You teach them the word and let it fall where it falls. The words are either going to fall on good soil or it's going to fall on soil where the enemy will come and just snatch it out. And that's not for me to judge. Can I get an amen? My job is just to teach you. So praise God. Let's move on to verse 30 of Romans chapter 15. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you should strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Strive, meaning there's labor in prayer. Man, tonight, we were praying and we didn't realize it was we had about maybe 2 minutes to start. Because when you start laboring in prayer, man, God will take you in the spirit. And then there's like a joy to pray. But in the very beginning, man, the flesh, man, there's a battle with the flesh. And listen, we all battle with it. Every one of us do. That's right. Yeah, 2 or 3 in the morning. And he'll wake you up to pray, won't he?
And he'll bless
you. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Because he don't wake you up just to prod you, poke you. Ha ha, woke you up. No, he's got something to say to you. Amen? So Paul asked his readers to pray for him, a request he made in many of his letters. Many letters. Let's look at Ephesians right here. And for me, Ephesians 6:19, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I want. Speak. He was bold. He was bold to contend for the gospel. He was bold to ask for prayers. He was bold to call out sin when there was sin. And we know that throughout his letters, he would call things out that they want to have a rock concert right there. And that rock concert wasn't with the Beatles. It was picking up literally rocks to stone him. Look at Colossians 4:3 right up here. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word. You see, when you're praying and asking God specifically, that's what God will do. Look, he said, pray that a door would open to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Notice, he needed prayer so that he can speak boldly, knowing that the saints are praying. The anointing of God is with them to pray. Praise God. Listen, when people are praying for you, you know they're praying for you. Because you feel there's a boldness there. You can feel the presence of God. That's someone praying too for you. Look what he says in Thessalonica right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Brethren, pray for us. Listen, never be too proud to ask someone to pray for you. I ask for prayer all the time. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. He said, look at this. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And then he always closes out with an amen. And then in the second book of Thessalonica, look at this. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-3. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Notice he's always asking for prayer. That the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. They wanted to abduct him. They wanted to basically just take him hostage. You know how some people, what they do nowadays, they'll drive a van up, they'll see a woman jogging, they'll open up a van, and they'll put a bag over her and just capture her and take her. And there she goes to another country to be a sex slave. And no one knows how she got, no one knows what happened to her. You know how many missing people there are? So many. Sisters, never walk the streets by yourself. That's all I got to say. Walk with your husband, walk with family. Walk with big dogs. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified as with you. That they may be what? That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith. Wow. Did you know that there's a whole lot of people that have no faith? No faith. No faith. Tonight we prayed for our niece, Monica. Two days ago, we went to UCSD. She's battling with cancer. All my brothers, two of my sisters, not all of them could be there because other ones live in other states. Not all 11 of us could be there. But there was seven of us out of the 11. We came to pray for our niece, Monica. And we were all greeting her. My brother Norbert was there, and Moni was there. And we sat there after we greeted there, and we were, you know, it was a quiet moment. I was sitting next to Brother G. And I looked over to Dell, and God gave me a word. I go, Dell, open up your phone to John chapter 5, verse 1. So he found it. I said, I got up. I went on the bedside. We're all in there. I said, Dell, come to the bedside. I want you to read the first few verses. And before we read it, I said, Monica, let me pray for you, that God will give you ears to hear and eyes to see. And so he read those scriptures. That story in John chapter 1, there was a festival going on. And all the Jews would be on the Temple Mount. And they would go to the pool of Bethesda. And this pool, the water would stir when the angel would come. And people would jump into that pool to be healed. And here comes Jesus. He walks in. And there was a man laying there for 38 years that couldn't walk. And you know what he said to him? He said, do you want to be well? Do you want to be, based in other versions, do you want to be healed? Man, I asked God when I prepared a message that Pastor Leo had asked me. We were in Israel, and he was going to teach on the pools of Bethesda, but he was called away by the mayor of Jerusalem, by Ehud Olmert, and he asked me, do you want to teach the tour group right there? He goes, it's going to be John chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. He goes, I want you to teach on the pool. Man, I never taught in front of a group like that. But was I going to say no? And I asked God when I was in my hotel room to study for that. And I read that scripture over and over. I go, so I, in prayer, I said, God, why did you ask that man? You already knew his condition, but why did you ask him, do you want to be well? And God spoke clearly. He goes, because not everybody wants to get well. There's some people that want to live in that condition. Some of them don't want to get off welfare. So they need to be in a condition to keep getting money. Some people want attention. There's so many things why they don't want to get well. And so Jesus had to ask him, do you want to be healed? And his excuse was, every time the angel would come, people would step over him, and he was never able to get into the water. All Jesus did was speak the word. He says, get up and walk. And he got up and walked. So I told Monica, I'm in the hospital room. I go, do you want to get well? This man was like this for 38. You've been like this for 2 years now. I said, do you want to get well? She goes, yes, Uncle Fee, I want to get well. I said, okay. We're going to pray right now that you truly want to get well. One of the things, and I hope my brother is listening and watching, this is what I found out when God truly does a deliverance, when he truly heals, is when there's true repentance. Because God's not going to heal you to go back in sin. Did you catch that? If he's going to heal you, it's because now he wants to use you. And you're going to be profitable in the kingdom of God. You're going to bring him glory and honor and praise. A lot of times we pray for folks and we want God to heal them, and there's no healing takes place because he knows the heart. And he knows that some will just get healed and go right back into their sin. Because few days before she was in that condition, her and her family were at a party shaking it up. I had to come in and bring truth. I'm accountable. I'm not going to go in there. I know it hurt to say the truth, but you know what? I'd rather be told the truth than be told a lie. So pray for her that she would get a hold of God right there in that bed. Right there in that hospital room, she'd get a hold of God right there. And God will get a hold of her. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Because we only get so many doors with people. And you know what? God will always come to someone in that time of need. But you have to respond to Him. That lines up with His word. He doesn't save us to go back and sin. It's against His nature, isn't it? Look what I found in Philemon. You probably haven't been there. Pages are probably still stuck together on this one. Philemon. There's only one chapter. Philemon verse 22. He says, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you. Philemon, that's just, I believe that's right after Thessalonians, I believe. Or Titus. It's in there somewhere. Yeah, after Titus. You know, that's only a one chapter letter. And rarely does people go there. But it's there. It's there for a reason, right? And we're just reading now that he even wrote to them and says, I need your prayers. See, Paul needed their intercessory prayers. Because when you're interceding for others, that means you're dying to self, and now it's just you and God, and you're praying that true healing will come, true change will come. And when you connect with God that way, He will hear your cry. He needed them to join Him in promoting the cause of Christ. So He needed them to get before and get on their face before God and pray. The Greek term for join me in my struggle was often used in connection with athletic events where a team had to put forth a great concerted action. So what does that mean? That means setting that side of time and actually laboring in prayer. And the flesh hates it. The flesh hates it. Oh, come on. And then God will get our attention to truly seek Him. Can I get an amen? Though the Roman believers could not be physically with Paul, they could join his efforts by praying for him. Now, I know there's some people that you wish they were here. Unbelievers, those who don't serve God that we know in our life, but pray for them. Be that intercessory prayer warrior for them. And when you've done that, you've done what God called you to do. It's up to Him now whether what He does with them. God is sovereign. How many believe He's sovereign? He chooses who He wants to choose. He'll bless whoever He wants to bless. He'll heal whoever He wants to heal. All we do is bring it up to Him. Say, Lord, this one, please, Lord, look, this one, Lord. And He already knew that before you lifted up them to prayer. He already knew that. He already knew that. And so this is a subtle way of effective emphasis that Paul was not an independent agent. Aren't you so blessed? It wasn't all about me. It wasn't all about him. He needed every saint to pray for him. The places he went. He was part of the body, and he needed the body's help. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 31 of Romans chapter 15. That I may be what? Delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. You see, saints, Paul's specific prayer, his request pertained to his return to Jerusalem. Paul knew of the potential danger, though, of awaiting him there. Everywhere he went, he knew that Satan was up to no good. Old Slewfoot was waiting for him, trying to set traps for him. See, Satan knew that now Paul is marked by Christ. And so he was trying every which way to destroy him. Listen, let me just say this. If you want a really good, easy Christian life and just praise the Lord and tipping through the tulips, don't say nothing about God. Don't even tell nobody. Oh, just come to church. Yeah, open your Bibles. Never say anything to nobody. You know, mind your own business. But when you decide to say, you know what? Only God can save you. And you need to be saved. You need to give your heart to Christ. When you start firing like that, all your burners just going with the glow of the gospel, look for attack. It's coming. But you know what? Be like this. Come what may, I'm still going to praise you, God. I'm going to worship you, God. I'm still going to serve you. When you come to an understanding that this flesh that we live in, this tent, is all but for a moment, you will know in the spirit that your rewards are not going to be in this world. The rewards are what's coming to you in the next world. The next world. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Because God has a blessing in store for us. So Paul knew the potential danger awaiting him there. So he asked him to pray for his safety. Look what I found in Acts 20 right up here. Acts 20:22. And see now, I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Listen, if you knew that these things were awaiting you, would you go? But he wrote this down. He said, the Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. This was his exit plan. This is where he could, okay, God, I'm glad you showed me that. I'm not going there. Huh? Not Paul. See, Paul knew who he was in Christ. He knew. Listen, when you were blinded for 3 days, you knew you weren't messing around. God wasn't messing around no more. Look at verse 24. But none of these things move me. What? He said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. This is where we have to come to now in the generation and the time that we live in. It's not I that live, but Christ who lives in me, the hope of glory. You can't count this life. This life is fading away. It's going quick. There's people already that we had to go already do celebrations, the live services. They're gone here. They're not here no more. Our life is but a moment. It's a blink. Look at this. None of these things move me, he says. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I've received from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. See, a lot of churches won't teach this. They want you to be happy. Prosper. We're going to bypass this. This was just for Paul. No, this is for us. My goodness. Look at it in Acts 21. Look at this in 27 through 28. And when the 7 days were almost ended, this is a festival time, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him. What? Stirred it up. We go, man, there he is. Let's go get him. Crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, against the law, against this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled the holy place. Look at these lies spun. These were the spin doctors of the time. Mentirosos, liars. My. Paul was still regarded as a traitor to his faith. You got to remember, some of his fellow Jews might even consider it their religious duty to get rid of him for good. He also asked the Roman Christians to pray for the Christians in Jerusalem church. Why? So that they would be willing to accept and take the money that the churches had given him to bless them. He came with a blessing. He didn't come just to show up, here I am. No, he came to bless them. He came to fill their pockets with something. He came to feed them. He was a blessing. He's the greatest apostle that ever lived. My question is this. Can God say that about us? Have we been a blessing to the kingdom of God? Are we a blessing to Jesus? Or do we just take up time? We let days go by. God is saying, be a blessing. Don't let every moment go. Listen, some of you are tremendous blessings to your husbands, to your wives, to your children, your grandchildren, raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, ministering to them. Some have gotten old now and you're caring for them. That's what God is saying. Be a blessing. Because you know what? You're doing it unto God. You're doing it unto the Lord. Be a blessing to one another. Because why? Paul was a blessing to them. And God has been a blessing to him. And God is a blessing to us. No differently. Can I get amen? And so, let's move on to verse 32 in Romans 15. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God. And may be refreshed together with you. See, he's coming with joy, filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you can just remember the time when you first received the Holy Ghost, you were drunk. You felt like you were drunken with a wine that was not liquor of this world. You were drunk in the Holy Ghost. Did you know that we should always be asking God to continue to fill us again and again and again? Because when that joy comes, it's for purpose. It's not just to make you feel good. It's to empower you, to equip you, to preach the gospel, to serve one another. If all went well in Jerusalem, Paul, he hoped to them who visited them in Rome that they would be a blessing to one another as he brought gifts to them. Here, I collected this from all the churches. Now go be a blessing to your brethren. Man, I'm telling you, he was awesome. Look what I found in Acts 19 up here, 19:21. When these things were accomplished, Paul, purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who he ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a time. But he was a blessing to all. And he sent many people with the anointing of God to go preach the gospel, to go raise up people in the fear and admonition of the church. When you're underneath a teaching of a church, God has sent that person to be what Christ told Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And pastors throughout the world, this is what we're called to do, is to feed God's people with the word of God. Amen? That you would be fully equipped, that you would know what is false and what is truth. That's right. Study the word of God and make yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can I get an amen? Rightly dividing the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And so we're going to close with verse 33. Now the peace of God be with you all. And he closes out, amen. You see, Paul closes this section of the letter with another personal benediction for all the believers. The God who gives us his peace, it was a Jewish benediction. And Paul offers it here to his Jewish and Gentile Christian readers. And so as he would journey from country to country, he would always say, peace be with you. The peace of God be with you. This is where I got the topic tonight. Now the peace of what? The God of peace be with you. Look at in Philippians 4:9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, when you raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, when you love your spouse unconditionally, when you love your children, your grandchildren, when you do the things that God has called you to do, there will be a peace that surpasses all understanding upon you. How many are so blessed to know that? Thank you, God. Look what he wrote to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for perfect harmony. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Live in peace. Or do you holler and scream? And everyone's gone. Do you kick the dog? You backbite your spouse? You curse out people when no one's around? No. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. This is what Yolanda and I have seen living in here for 28 years now. Is we have peace in our home. Why? Because we're at peace with God and we're at peace with one another. And when you have the love of God living in you, this is what you can expect. The peace of God will be in your home. Can I get an amen? And I wouldn't want it no other way. I've been in a scornful home before. It's ugly. It's ruthless. It's treacherous. It's deceitful. It's murderous that would come from the tongue. Slander and lies. And being mischievous. Being greedy. I could go on and on. But when you have the love of God, the grace of God's upon you, there'll be peace in your home. You see, when you... Here's the thing. This is what I shared with some of the brothers when we were eating before Pastor Art taught us that night. I said, you know how God has shown me? You can live in a monastery as a monk to stay away from all sin. And yet you're up there 1,000 feet in the mountaintop as a monk. Oh, I'm holy, I'm holy. And as soon as a thought of ungodliness comes to your mind, you've already sinned. All that was for what? All that was for what? As soon as you thought of having... If there was a man up there, a monk, and as soon as he thought of a woman in an unrighteous way, the Bible says he's already committed adultery now. So God showed me we're never going to be perfect in this flesh. We're always going to stumble into things. They're called sins of omission and commission. What does that mean? There's some willful sins that you know it's wrong and you do them anyway. And there's sins that are omission, meaning, oh man, I didn't even know I sinned. And you know, it was a mistake, but yet you still sinned. Not knowingly. So there's sins of omission and commission. Here's how you defeat all that. Fill your being with God. The more God, the less you want to sin. Ask God to fill you overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Now you're not allowing the enemy to come. You're crucifying the flesh. Because if you crucify the flesh without God in your life or without using the things of God, you're gonna just crash and burn. You're going to give in to the flesh. And then once you sin, then here comes Satan. He's condemning you. Ah, I thought you were a child of God. Look at you now. Look at you. You're watching this and you're saying this and you're doing this. You're not a Christian, are you? And then you start condemning your own heart. And it was Satan's job to drive you away from God. So here's how you battle that. You put more God in you. You put more Word in you. You be in the Spirit. There's no room now for the enemy to try to get a foothold in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But the church don't get that. The church today don't understand those things. I remember when we were at North Park Apostolic, Dr. G, she taught deliverance classes. She goes, you're going to wrestle all the time with the flesh. But the more Holy Ghost you ask God to give you, the more anointing is upon you, the more Word you put in you, there's no room for that no more. You won't have desire for that. You will put the flesh at bay. You'll keep it at bay. In other words, it's there. I know it's there. But guess what? You have no desire for that. Because I want the things of God. That's how we combat those things. Because we're never going to be perfect in the flesh. I used to hear sermons after sermons after sermons. As soon as you think of something, you're going to hell. It's like, wow, man, I was feeling condemned. Oh, God. You remember those days, huh, brother? You're going to, oh, the spot, I felt bad for the sisters. You put on the earrings, you're going to hell. If you go to YouTube, there's this old-time apostolic preacher named Pastor James Smith. Remember that, James Smith. And every one of his sermons, he says, somebody got to go to hell. Oh man, I'm telling you, know, he had a lot of truth in his sermons, but man, he was always sending someone to hell. Somebody got to go to hell. I said, oh my gosh. Remember this guy. His name is Pastor James Smith. He was an apostolic teacher way back in the day. And he had two men. One guy was behind him to his right, another guy was to his left, and they had the Bible open. He would find the scripture. And then they would read the scripture. And then he would preach on it. What else did it say? And then he would just go and just, man, I'm telling you, he's something else. And in his sermon, somebody got to go to hell. Wow. Wow. Jesus, help us. Gee, I wouldn't be able to survive in his church. As soon as I thought something that was not right, I'm going to hell. Oh, help me, God. Look at this. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:20. We're coming in for a close. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your entire spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, look at this. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The peace, the Lord be with you all. He was always talking about the peace of God. And the way you get the peace of God is you got more of God in you. And I close with this scripture, Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead of our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of what? The sheep. Praise God. Praise God. And so, Paul always had a benediction. He always used the Old Testament because he was, at the time, presently, during his time, was writing most of the epistles, and they weren't in a quote-unquote Bible for us yet. But one of the familiar scriptures that he wrote was right here in Numbers 6:24 that he would reiterate. He didn't write this. This is from the five books that Moses wrote. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is the benediction that I always give out before we end our prayer, don't we? And the Lord wants us to walk in the peace of God. We are to understand the peace of God. As I shared with you, that the only way to experience the peace of God, the grace of God, is having God fill your being with every unction that he has for you, and that you would want everything he has for you. And watch what God will do in your life. He will do things that you thought you could never do. And that's right. You can't do them without God. You need him in your life. And if you're watching right now on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you haven't experienced the peace of God like a lot of us here have. Maybe you're saying, man, all this peace that you're talking about, my life is in turmoil. I can't quit drugs. My kids are on drugs and they run away. And I want things back in my life. I want things in order. Well, guess what? This is why you're watching right now. It's not a coincidence that you logged on. I'm here to let you know right now by faith that you too can experience the grace of God, the peace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the salvation of God. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, and that God will do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, May God bless you, and thank you for listening.